Hey everyone, welcome to episode 182 of My 123 Cents, the podcast. I am extremely excited about this episode, all episodes of My 123 Cents. This is, of course, now episode 182, and I have two legends in the world of professional wrestling as my guest, Herb Simmons, who is the promoter of SICW in East Carondelet, Illinois. Herb has been doing professional wrestling for decades now, and he is actually holding a show this upcoming weekend. If you are listening the week that this show drops, it's coming up Saturday night, May 19th. It is the anniversary show, the 59th anniversary of Wrestling at the Chase. It's also the Bruiser Brody Memorial Battle Royal. King Kong Bruiser Brody, one of the all-time greats. Growing up and watching Brody, I loved him in the ring. Everything about him. He's one of those guys I always wished and hoped would have come to the WWF. But then when you think about that, you wonder what would have happened had that happened. Would he have been altered or changed? Because many times, you know, especially way back when a big guy would jump ship, you know, Harley Race, for example. He went from Harley Race in the NWA to the King Harley Race, and they changed him a bit. Would they have done that with Bruiser Brody? No one knows for sure, but he is certainly one of those that I would have loved to have seen more of. Unfortunately, his life was cut short in 1988. Hard to believe that's been nearly 30 years ago, but we talk about Brody, Herb Simmons and I, and the other guest, who is Dr. D. David Schultz. Schultz will be a part of Herb's show, the SICW show, again happening on May 19th. Schultz wrestled Brody and shares those stories. Schultz also talks about the incident that happened in 1984 with ABC reporter John Stossel during a 2020 quote-unquote expose on the world of professional wrestling. It's one of those events that I remember very vividly as a child. I was 11 years old, had just been to my very first WWF house show, and was watching this special as well on ABC News, and remember Stossel asking the question and Schultz responding that wrestling is indeed not fake. But we get more into that story during the course of the interview, and he goes into greater detail as well in his relatively new book. It's been out since January. It's called Don't Call Me Fake, The Real Story of Dr. D. So be sure to check that out, the book. Stick around and listen to the interview. And if you're able to make it up to the East Carondelet, that's in the it's on the Illinois side, but it's not too far from St. Louis. Be sure to check that out. I don't want to be at the event I'm going to. My son is graduating from high school, so I will definitely be missing the SICW show. Also, Cape Championship Wrestling, if you're in the Southeast Missouri area, they're holding a big benefit show as well in Delta for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Of course, Herb shows up in East Carondelet. They go, they raise money for first responders and emergency workers up in that area. So two great shows, two great causes happening on Saturday, May 19th, which is also a very ominous day for Kane. I don't know that we ever figure that out, but I digress. You know, as far as other wrestling news this week or this past week, Money in the Bank is around the corner, and on Raw and SmackDown, they've started the qualifiers for that. There's actually going to be two ladder matches involving the men and the women. So, or the two matches, one involving men, one involving the women. I kind of said that funny. So, and then, of course, there's Stride Pro Wrestling. And I want to do a quick shout out to my friends over at Podzilla 1985, Shannon and Asa and Dalton and Allie. They've all been very supportive of My 123 Cents, of Stride Pro Wrestling, of indie wrestling in general. The recent actions with Mathis and some of the backlash that happened on Twitter specifically, you know, not everybody was a fan of it, and I didn't expect everyone to be a fan of it. For those who don't remember, Roger Mathis power slammed my daughter, prompting me then to sign a contract to get into the ring, and that will happen on Saturday, May 26th. I get that this was not everybody's cup of tea, and I don't mind the fact that people hate on it, but the judgment and the critiquing of me as a parent based on a 2-minute clip from a wrestling show, I've had a bit of a problem with, and I'm not going to name names because I'm not going to give them any kind of spotlight or any kind of glory. And I doubt that they're listening to this show. I know that some of the people who were critical listened to last week's podcast. If you're listening this week, welcome back. It's your prerogative. Just like this is a platform for me to voice my opinion and share my 1-2-3 cents, you did the same thing. And I respect all the opinions. I don't agree with them, obviously. I don't think I'm a horrible father, and to each his own. And I'm not going to justify what we did with what other companies have done or whatever. It is what it is. This is the story that we decided to tell, and we did it in a safe manner. No one was hurt. And, you know, we're going to proceed on. And again, May 26th, and those who hated it or are critical of it, I invite you to join me in an actual discussion and not hidden behind a fake Twitter account, because I know some of them were just troll accounts. They weren't, actual people. And to the performer with Ring of Honor, I'd love to have you on the show. Let's talk about it. Let's discuss it and talk about other things going on in the world of professional wrestling. But again, I get it. It wasn't everybody's cup of tea. And for that, I respect your opinion and applaud you for voicing it. And thank you for listening to the show and being a part of the experience. So I don't really have much else to say other than that. Again, Saturday, May 26th, that is Stride Pro Wrestling. I'll talk much more about that on next week's podcast. But for now, enjoy Dr. D. David Schultz and Herb Simmons.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Alrighty, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. And right now I have on the line both Herb Simmons from SICW in East Carondelet, Illinois, and the legendary Dr. D. David Schultz. And Dr. D. will be a part of the upcoming event coming up on Saturday night, May 19th. It is the a tribute show of sorts to Bruiser Brody. So Herb, kind of start us off and talk a little bit about SICW and what you guys have planned for this Saturday night.
Kevin, as you know, SICW, I'm in my 44th year of promoting shows for fundraisers for our first responders and organizational groups to help them raise money, and we do quite well at doing that, and along with doing a Bruiser Brody Memorial, who Bruiser Brody worked for me for many years back in the day prior to his demise in 1988. We every year in May, we have the Bruiser Brody Memorial and the Big Battle Royal, and we are fortunate every year to have his widow, Barbara Goodish, join us each year. And she presents the winner of the Big Battle Royal, a big trophy cup that we had made several years ago. But we also add in, this would be the 59th year memory celebration we do of the old Wrestling at the Chase program.
Wow.
And it has stayed on the air. It went on the air in 1959 and stayed till about 1983. So this would have been their 59th year. And all the greats that came through St. Louis under Sam Muchnick, Luthez, Pat O'Connor, Gene Kaminsky, the Funks, the Briscoes, Johnny Valentine, Cowboy Bob Ellis, Rip Hawk, Harley Race, anybody and everybody who was traveling back in the day, and Dr. D will tell you what it was like traveling on the road back then. They always stopped in St. Louis at the fabulous Chase Park Plaza Hotel, chandeliers hanging from the ceilings, and ladies dressed up in their evening gowns, and gentlemen in their tuxedos. So that's why we continue to keep the old memories alive of St. Louis wrestling.
What kind of impact do you think? I grew up, I caught the tail end of Brody's career. One of the very first shows I went to was in St. Louis, and it was Brody versus Ric Flair for the NWA Championship. What kind of impact, you know, so many years later, we're now, it'll be 30 years this summer since his death. Obviously still a huge figure in the world of professional wrestling, though.
Yes, his legacy will continue on, and that was kind of one of the promises that I made to Barbara, his wife, that as long as I had breath in me, that I would do it. I've named my four-legged Belgian Malinois after him, Brody, my four-legged friend. I have pictures of him on my fireplace mantle. I have tapes of him. He meant so much in the wrestling business back in the days, and it's amazing. 30 years later, like next Saturday night during our show, the crowd will just be doing the Brody, Brody, Brody chant like they used to. The business has changed, as Dr. D will tell you, but and he'll tell you about some of the matches that he had with Bruiser Brody in the ring. The whole wrestling industry has changed drastically. I was each of those matches in St. Louis. There was 3 1-hour draws or DQs mm-hmm. that Brody and Flair had, and probably some of the greatest matches that I've seen.
Yeah, one of the greatest big men of all time. And Dr. D, it is an honor and a pleasure to speak with you as well. Can you kind of share some of, as Herb kind of alluded to, share some of your memories in the ring with Bruiser Brody?
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, Bruiser Brody is probably the toughest guy I ever climbed in the ring with. And, this was a man. This was a man that would go out there and fight with you. He would wrestle with you. He didn't care what you wanted to do. He would do it. And what a nice guy. I mean, you know, he went out there and he put on a good show, just like I did put on a good show. But, you know, I don't think he used near the linemen I did after the match, you know, getting over all the beatings that he put on me. Not really literally beating, but he was a tough guy, man. And, you know, he would take whatever you put on him, he put it back twice as hard. And that's what I liked about him. You know, and everybody else liked it about him. He was a tough guy. He was a big draw. He was a credit to the wrestling profession. And, it was an honor to get the call to even be there on this Bruiser Brody Memorial match and all. And then Barbara's going to be there, and I can't wait to meet her. I haven't met her on the road. You don't get to meet a lot of the wives, spouses, or whatever. As you're going, you're always moving around. But mm-hmm. it's an honor to be there. And Herb doing a heck of a job. I've met Herb years and years ago, and you know he's always his reputation just always a great reputation. And you don't mind going to work for guys like this. There's so many people out there that are not professional and don't have a good reputation, and you don't mess with those people. But when Herb, I got talking to him, it was an honor to get the call, and I just so excited to be there. You know, all the people going to be there, all the wrestlers I'm going to get to meet, and especially Barbara and that Battle Royal. I keep thinking about that Battle Royal. You know, that's a pretty nice trophy. I might have to bring my tights up there.
You know? Absolutely. I had the pleasure of being there for last year's Battle Royal, and it's an amazing night. Herb does a great job top to bottom with the talent that he brings in. Getting to meet Mrs. Goodish last year, Abdullah the Butcher was also one of the guests there. So Herb does a great job putting these things together. Can you talk about your experiences? Did you ever come through St. Louis a lot? And, you know, I grew up in St. Louis, so I'm biased and watched wrestling at the Chase. So I have a great fondness for St. Louis and the city as far as wrestling goes.
You know, St. Louis, I wrestled there a number of times. You know, that was Harley Race was a world champion. I was there. I mean, I talked like it was yesterday, many years ago. But I loved to go to St. Louis because you always had top name wrestlers there. You didn't have a bunch of nobodies. You had top name wrestlers going to St. Louis area, you know, and you was always against top competition there. And, it's a great place to wrestle. And Harley Race, like I said, he was world champion. I used to love to watch this guy in the ring. He was just amazing how he worked out there. And then Luke Fez and all these guys, Chief J. Scombo, Bruiser Brody. I mean, these guys are legendary, you know, but, they'll never be forgotten. Their names will always be up there in mm-hmm. the top. and Brody's will be up there with all the rest of them, if not on top of all the rest of them, because he was, in my mind, he was probably the toughest guy ever to meet in professional wrestling. And I met a lot of them now. Met just about all of them. And Rudy Brody was probably the toughest I ever went against.
Absolutely. And Herb, what was it, what are you think it is about St. Louis back in the day when it was the territorial system? You know, obviously there was Mid-South and there was Mid-Atlantic and Texas and Florida, but St. Louis had a really great stronghold as well. And as you mentioned, Wrestling at the Chase, that iconic program that lasted decades on the air.
Well, I tell people nowadays, and when I do interviews, you know, it's like baking a cake. In the wrestling business, you have to have all the ingredients, and of course you have to have the talent, and Sam Muchnick back then helped develop that talent, you know, over the 41 years that roughly he was president of the NWA. You know, he controlled a lot of it, but he, you know, Sam's theory and what he had always told me was, is there was, as long as the pie is big enough and everybody gets an equal share, but that's what everybody should be worried about. And Sam was kind of the mediator to that, and not to say that there wasn't problems of, especially with the title and who controlled that, but Sam would be that mediator. He was a guy that could sit down and mediate the issues out, and everybody walk out of the room. They may not agree, but they respected him. And I think that's kind of what happened. And of course, you had to have the talent. Then you have to have the good fans. And then, you know, you said, Kevin, you grew up in St. Louis, and to me, it's some of the greatest fans anywhere in the country. And I think they continue to show that when they show up to our shows, or whether they're down at what you guys are doing in Southern Illinois at Stride Pro Wrestling. You got to agree, those fans come out and they support you each and every show. Yeah, you got to have the ingredients. And I've never been a worker myself, but Sam Muchnick wasn't either. Larry Matisek wasn't a worker, and Larry still helps me put those shows together. And I don't have to put the tights on to go in there and know how to promote a show.
Absolutely. And I was actually going to ask that. My next question was going to be about Larry. How is he doing?
He's doing good. His mind is still there. As we've talked before, you know, he's got the spinal stenosis illness that is not going to allow him to do much walking or mobility. But we've got him in a assisted living center, and I talk to him every day. His mind is still great. He's working on his, I think it's his fifth or sixth book he's written now. Wow. And hopefully that's going to get published here this year. And it's going to kind of be the difference between a Sam Muchnick and a Vince McMahon's book. Because he's probably one of the last living people that actually worked from Sam when he was 16 years old, all the way through his career. And then he went to work for Vince for 10 years and ran the St. Louis stuff when they came into town there. So he's had the boast of the good and the evil.
Yeah, the voice of St. Louis wrestling, the voice of my childhood for sure, Larry Matisek. Please let him know that think about him very often, and glad to hear that he is doing well. Dr. D, Herb just mentioned books, and you had a book come out earlier this year. I'm intrigued by the title of it, Don't Call Me Fake, The Real Story of Dr. D. David Schultz. It's a great story, and one that, you know, kind of goes back to 1984. And if you don't mind, could you talk a little bit about the incident that happened on 2020 with the reporter John Stossel?
Well, you know, that incident was Vince McMahon is the one that directed me to go out and tear John Stossel. I won't call the word on the radio because there'd be kids listening, and I still respect the kids. I don't think they should be listening to stuff like I would say in private, you know. But anyway, John Stossel was out there. He said, "I think you're fake." Well, that's what I thought he said at the time, and I was ordered to blast him and be Dr. D and stay in character. And when he said that, this tape was going all over the world. It wasn't just coming to Madison Square Gardens.
Right.
This, everybody's going to see this. And Vince wanted me to blast him. That was his word, blast him. only thing I can think blast is slap him. So I slapped him upside the face. I did not slap him in his ear like he said. And then I slapped him again when he got up, because, you know, the old rule of thumb is if a guy's down, he's coming back up. You better knock him back down.
Right.
Because he might be going to hurt you when he gets back up.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think Strauss will have that in mind, but anyway, you know, he took off, and then Vince congratulated me. I did exactly what he wanted, and then later on, he turned the tables on me and told me I had to take blame for everything and all this. I said, oh, no, no, no. You told me. You ordered it, and that's what I did. It tells the whole story in the book. And by the way, this book is number one on Amazon. It's been number one for months and months. And everybody that's read this book, I know Steve Austin called me, mm-hmm. and he said, Doc, I read the book. It's the greatest book I've ever read about pro wrestling and about you, the way it was done, about your bounty hunting days, and Bret Hart. Same thing. Called me, said, Doc, greatest, man, it's great. Tito Santana said the same thing. Everybody I talked to, I don't know if they just want me to feel good or what, but my wife told me it was the greatest book she ever read, and she's read it four times, and I don't think she has to lie to me. She controlled me anyway, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
after 48 years, you know, I knew exactly what she says and when she says. So, but anyway, it is absolutely everything in the book is true. There's no false statements in there. Everything is true. We changed the names of some of the people I picked up and put in jail because today they probably got grown kids out there, and it's no sense in subjugating their grandkids and great grandkids to things that they did.
Right.
Years ago, you know, so I did change the names of a lot of people just to protect the families, but that. Not being light on any of them, the thousands I brought in, I never missed anybody. I always got everybody. And, you know, we talk about first responders and we talk about police departments and all this, and you see all this stuff on the TV about policemen and what they do and everything. You know, people haven't spent a day in their shoes. Nobody's rode at night in these bad parts of these towns that drugs everywhere and everything. And these guys are trying to protect us.
Yeah.
And they're trying to protect our kids and everything. And, you know, if people would just listen to the police officer when they come up and they stop them and they tell them to do something, all they got to do is do what they ask and it won't be all this problem.
Yep.
You know, they tell them, hey, stop, get on the ground. I didn't say to run 100 miles, I didn't get away.
Yeah.
And, you know, just stop and get on the ground. Raise your hands. Hey, that wouldn't be all this problem. If you'll notice, all the problem they're having is all these people that want to backtalk the police and argue with them and struggle with them. Well, the police officer, let me tell you, it don't take but a minute for one of these guys to pull a gun or a knife or the spouse or the partner or whoever and stab one of these cops. And, you know, I understand. I've been there. I've been in New York City at 2:00 in the morning down on the Grand Concourse, Hell's Kitchen, New York.
Mm-hmm.
People don't even go down there in the daytime.
Yeah.
I go down at 2:00 in the morning and drag people out of the houses, out of the buildings. But that's me. Everybody knew me down there, and they knew I was there to get one guy, and that's all. I'm not there to cause anybody any problem. I never had a problem. Even the New York street crime cops would go out with me, and some of them would just stand by, and they said, well, we hear gunshots, we'll come running.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a little too late then, but it's
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's a fascinating book. You learn a lot about bounty hunting that you didn't know, and you learn a lot about me and the wrestling business that you didn't know. But I just hate to see that law enforcement is getting such a negative thing, and it's not their fault. They're going by the rule of law. It's the law. You do what they say, you ain't got a problem. But everybody's got to fight them. Everybody wants to argue with them. Everybody wants to run for them. Everybody, you know. And that's my point of view of it anyway.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
I don't have any problem with them. They stopped me. If they stopped me, if I was speeding accident or something, they told me to get out of the car and lay down. I said, yes, sir. They tell me to hop. I say, hi, hi. So hi.
I understand.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
whole thing and the whole problem is that they don't listen. And then when they don't listen, they give them all this TV coverage, all this news coverage, and the people are going crazy with, hey, I'm going to be on the news. And just the other day I seen one about a guy at the Waffle House or something fighting somebody. He wasn't trying. I mean, you know, the guy was fighting him. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if the kid had got away from him, he could have grabbed the guy's gun, he could have grabbed anything, you know. And, I mean, people don't see it that way, though, because they've never been in that predicament. They never went out there with their life on the line and dealing with these people. And these people do not play.
Right.
They don't care. They don't care who you are. They have no respect for humanity, or most of them, I'm saying.
Right.
They don't care. And you put them in jail, they don't care about that either, because they got all their friends in there with them.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll keep going on that. We go a year on all that.
Well,
anyway,
did anybody ever recognize you as you know, when you were a bounty hunter and you're taking in these bad guys? Did anybody ever recognize you as Dr. G. David Schultz?
Oh yes, that was my biggest help that I ever had. People knew who I was, you know, and you know, they knew me by the name. They called me Doc, and they called me the Bounty Man. Oh, Doc, is that Doc? I had people to tell me. And one time I had a TV reporter with me, and she said, are you, you know who this is, right? He said, oh, yeah, I know who that is. That's Dr. D, man. I don't mind going to jail with him. He was wanted for murder, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the guy was wanted for murder, and he said, told that reporter, he said, I don't mind going to jail with him. That's Dr. D.
Wow.
I'd be glad to go with him. Well, already he was handcuffed and shackled. He didn't have nothing else to say, you know. But,
right.
You know, and, you know, I have people that used to get out of jail, and they come look me up and thank me for treating them good, respect, mm-hmm. and everything. I had five people out of thousands that I took in. I had five people, big drug dealers, that wanted to fight me. And those five people lost real quick.
Oh, I bet.
And, I mean, you know, the other people, I would get them handcuffed. We'd have a little scuffle or something, but I'd handcuff them before they knew what was going on. And then I explained to them. And it was okay after that. But, you know, you get the cuffs on, you don't sit there, you don't talk, you don't discuss things. So we're not going out to lunch together. I'm not going to buy him dinner. He's not going to buy me dinner. And I'm not going to let him get out of my sight. So why sit and talk to him? Put the cuffs on and then explain to him. That's being a bounty hunter, though. You know, because there's a lot of different being a bounty hunter and a police officer.
Sure.
A lot of different rules and regulations that they have to go by that I don't. You know, I had no rules and regulations. I had a contractual agreement, and that's what my job was, fulfilling that contract. And, you know, but yeah, wrestling helped me. What wrestling gave me is a security. Never be scared of nobody. I'm not scared of nobody.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get my hands on them, they're going to lose.
Yeah.
If I get my hands on them. Now, I might not get my hands on them, but if I do, they're going to lose. And that's when I always took people down immediately, put cuffs on them, then we talk about it. You know? And just like the wrestling ring, I mean, I can't wait for the 19th. I'm going to get there early on the 19th. So we're going to have a meet and greet going on. And
that's
we're going
great.
To take pictures with people. We're going to sign autographs. We're going to sell my book. And we're going to sign pictures. And I hope a lot of my fans from, you know, I got fans. They might not be all great fans. They might not like me. They may like to hate me, but that's okay, too. You know, they're still fans, and they pay their money to come to the matches. And, you know, the main thing is like Herb, you know, he demands. They put on a good show. People come out there and spend a lot of money for all these benefits, and you need them people to have a good show and have a good time. And when they leave, they say, oh, my goodness, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need them leaving saying, oh, hey, I ain't never going back to that again. That was terrible, you know.
Yeah.
And I've heard that a bunch of times over the years. But when you get a person like Herb, he's going to bring in top quality guys. He's going to see that everybody has a good time. And that's what it's all about. People pay good money to come to those matches. People pay good money. They want to be entertained. And that's what you need to do is entertain them. And that I love to entertain these people. As being I told John Stossel and everybody else, I'm not a fake.
Right.
I'm an entertainer. I'm an exhibitionist. I'm a cartoon character. I'm whatever. Redneck. I'm not fake. One thing I'm not is fake.
That is coming through for sure.
Yeah.
Do you have any kind of...
is just part of it, you know.
Absolutely. Do you have any sort of relationship these days with WWE or Vince McMahon?
No, I have none whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Vince McMahon has vowed to never use my... Matter of fact, the lawsuit that we had, Vince McMahon is not allowed to use a picture of me. He's not allowed to use my name or anything else on his advertisements in his books or anything, ever.
Wow.
Well, I guess you know how far that went. Look on the internet.
Right.
And people say, why don't you sue him? Well, come on. He's a billionaire.
Right.
What can I do with a billionaire? I'm getting old, man. I just want to ease through this thing and just have a ease through and have a good life the rest of my life. And you know, but I like I tell some of these guys, hey, they call me an old man. I say, yeah, but let me tell you something. This old man, hey, he's got one good fight left. Do you want it?
Right. I don't doubt that for a second.
Well, Kevin, I think to elaborate a little bit more on the night that took place at Madison Square Garden, David, correct me if I'm wrong, you were supposed to be in the main event that night, weren't you?
Yes, I was, yes.
And they changed it. Vince wanted to get you out of there after the John Strauss
deal. That's right. Tony Inoki, and he said, go on now. When I got through, he said, go to the hotel, get out of here. John Strauss was talking about, a lot of people don't understand. The New York, Athletic Commission and Commission Doctor at Madison Square Gardens, these are not people that's treated ER or whatever. These are doctors.
Mm.
And they said John Sponsel had no damage at all, was nothing wrong with him at all. He was fine. You know, who did say he had ear damage was his brother, which is a doctor in Boston or somewhere up there in Massachusetts.
Exactly.
And all that went through, John Strasser got $425,000 from Vince, and I still don't know why or how, but right. He did. I wasn't involved in it. I was never charged with anything. I was never paid a dime to anybody for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, but Strasser here, within the last couple of years on his show, he come out and he was doing a show about scams and crooks and people that do this and take money and all this. He said, I was part of that, but my injuries was neurosomatic. Yeah, and, that meant that once he got paid, his pain went away.
Wow.
Exactly. And that's what he said on national TV on his own show.
Wow.
And he said, I got paid, my pain went away. I had no more pain. Because he was never hurt in the first place. I slapped him on his face. I didn't slap him on his ear.
Right.
And like everybody says, and once he got paid, I have the depositions of all these things. That's what I'm going to involve in my next book, is all these depositions that I got that shows Vince McMahon, John Stossel, several other people, and, about how they, you got two people, they both walking down the same path, and one guy says, oh yeah, I did walk down that path, but I didn't do anything on the right side of the path. I just walked straight down the path. The next guy says, hey, he walked down the path, he hit me with a stick, hit me with a bottle, he threw something at me and tried to get me in my car.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them they're both going the same way. That's just using the expression. They're both of them doing the same thing, but it's totally different at the end. I think that's called perjury.
And I think the problem there is, Kevin, is that a guy like Dr. D, who back then meant so much to the business, mm-hmm. and then gets thrown underneath the bus by Vince and company. But
yes.
could you imagine had Vince had just owned up and said, yeah, we did that. He was protecting the business. And then we have a guy like Dr. D out there today training some of our young people. I mean, wouldn't that be a plus for the business?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes, it would. I mean, I don't understand why they, as we're talking now, people are trying to get a hold of me for Vice. It's called Vice TV or Viceland TV. I've never seen it. My wife has seen the advertisement. They're wanting to do interviews with me. And then there's one from, they're doing a story in Japan about the reporter that I slapped over there when I went over there after Vince McMahon, he sent me over there, Antonio Inoki. We had a deal where the guy walked in with a TV camera and slapped him on his head. Like I, you know, and he went down, of course, wore a rag around his head for 5 weeks. Every time I walked out of the hotel in Tokyo, I'd see a big 8x10 thing about this guy, how damaged he was, ear damage and all this, here, this, here. Now, they've got this guy, and he's wanting to do a, they're going to do a TV series with him. And they're wanting to interview me and ask me why did I hit this guy? Why did I involve this guy in this here? Well, I told them exactly, I'm going to tell you exactly what I told them. I said, do you want to open up the biggest can of worms that you'll ever open up in your life? And the guy says, oh my God, what do you mean? I said, you're telling me that this guy is there and he's telling you that I actually beat him. I actually hit him and I was mad and I attacked him. And the guy said, yes. I said, well, let me tell you, Antonio Inoki is a senator or a congressman or some kind of big official over there now. Uh-huh. And I have a piece of paper signed that saying this was all pre-planned for him to come in there and I slap him before I do it because I just got off Stossel thing. I wasn't going to do anything else.
Well, I bet you Vince was all behind that.
Exactly. He was, yeah. And this guy said, are you kidding me? I said, I don't kid, you know. I said, if you want to do the interview and you want to open up this can of worms, you know, suicide rate in Japan is very high. And you know why? They take him to the top of the building and they push him off the building.
Yeah.
And they said, I'm sorry, Joe saw suicide last night. And I mean, you know, and Vince was behind it. He had a note to do the thing, and we grew great money from our reach over there. And this guy was always right there on it, and everybody at the other side was John Stossel. They were showing that because that's big news in Japan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they made good money on it, and it was there again, and Vince McMahon told them to do it. So when I'm in deposition now on this thing about John Stossel, all of a sudden Tony says, Mr. Schultz, are you in a habit of beating up reporters, TV reporters? I said, what are you talking about? He said, are you in a habit of beating up TV reporters? I said, no, sir, I'm not. He said, well, what's this? He pulled up a magazine with this guy's face on it. I said, hey, I got a paper here that tells this was all planned. And the lawyer kind of dropped his head and said, oh, my goodness. Yeah, all right. So, you know, Vince did it so they could come back at me right now. I mean, you know, this guy is vicious. Vince McMahon, vicious. That's my opinion of him. Everybody knows that. I don't have to tell them. But anyway, we ain't even going to talk about him because I get on a bad track when I start talking about him. But the 19th, we're going to have a great time. Are you going to be there on the 19th?
I honestly wish I could be there. My oldest son is graduating from high school that night, so I will be here in Southern Illinois, but I will certainly be there in spirit and help promote the show in any way that I can, and I would love to meet you in person, and hopefully maybe one day that will actually become a reality.
Yes, I'd love to meet you, have a picture took with you, and autograph and all that. You can always say you met the great Dr. D.
Absolutely.
And anybody else that comes down, we're taking pictures, we'll do photo ops with them. And I'm still looking at that trophy too, Herb.
Yeah, well, we got a big fan. You know, not only do we have the benefit of having Dr. D in the house and Barbara Goodish, I mean, the card itself, we got the big battle royal, we got two big cage matches going on, we got the ladies match, a six-man tag match. So yeah, we got a whole evening, and a special meet and greet starts at 4 o'clock, and it's going to be an all-star card, and we've got some other interviews lined up this week, so I'm sure, you know, as you know, Kevin, our building's a little small building. You was there last year, but we managed to pack them in there.
You certainly do. And, Herb, how can people get a hold of tickets?
They can call 618-286-4848 and reserve their seats. You know, we do an honor system here. We got such a great following. Or they can go to our website, sicw.org. The information's on there. Like I said, our business is repeat business. I have some of the loyal fans in the area. And as you know, Kevin, everybody in Illinois wants to be a wrestling promoter or be in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
And on any given day, there's probably a match within 15, 20 minutes of where we are here.
Yeah.
But no, we our fans come back because we have the storylines, and then we bring in the guys like the Dr. D's, and it was an honor for us when I chased him down and said, hey, remember the bounty hunting days? Because Dave never did wrestle for me, but I met him through the bounty hunting, and he would sneak in and out of Illinois when we'd find somebody for him, and he convinced him to go back go back to where they had to go, or go to Cook County and stay there for 6 months.
That's right.
I didn't want to go to Cook County, yeah. So, but no, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time, and Kevin is involved with a little promotion down further at Southern Illinois. Stride Pro Wrestling. So maybe in the future, the promoter down there is a good friend of mine. Yeah, Heath Atten, and maybe we can get you down in that neck of the woods.
That sounds good. Good to me. I'll tell you, it's great to work for good guys, and that's the reason I say Herb is a stand-up guy. He's doing a heck of a job, and again, I want to meet Barbara. I haven't met her, and you know, I've heard a lot about her, and her husband, Bruiser, was one of the greatest wrestlers I ever had a chance to wrestle. And you know, a lot of guys like today, the new guys coming into the business last few years, they would have given their right arm to get in the ring with this guy and say, hey, I bought Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, not literally their right arm, but you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
It's something they'll never be able to experience. It's like Harley Race. They'll never be able to experience in the ring with Harley Race. I mean, the guy was a master, you know. And, I mean, there's just a handful of people out there that can do the things Harley did, you know. He was great, you know, and these guys coming up today, they're probably good too. You know, when I was coming up, the whole time we were talking about us, oh, this kid, man, he's nuts. He's doing this crazy stuff, you know, because they'd grab a headlock and be out there for 45 minutes and they'd have come with a headlock.
Right.
And they'd say, what's he doing? The guy's jumping off the ropes. He's going crazy.
But Dave, you know what they need nowadays, what they don't have, which you had back then, is a Herb Welch.
That's right. That's right. Herb Welch. I was telling Herb. I said, "Hey, I had all these nightmares. You know, after I messed up Brody, we'd be out there for 35, 40 minutes. I'd go back to the dressing room. I'd have these flashbacks. Herb Welch, when he was training me. My goodness, I'd have to have my wife literally come out of the house, help me out of the car, and get my legs out of the car on the ground to help me in the house." I could not get out of my car. It wasn't but 40 miles, 45 miles to his place. And I tell people that, and they say, oh, yeah, sure. I said, yes, sure. And it went on for a couple of weeks. I started getting used to it. But, you know, back then, they didn't want anybody in the business. You had to prove to them you was tough enough and, you know, to take this punishment and keep your mouth shut. And do your job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like if you're going up to the dungeon up at Stu Hall. I mean,
oh yeah, the old dungeon up there, Calgary.
Yeah, they and that's what he told you. If you can walk out of here after a couple of weeks of workout, then you're probably fit for the business. But those 2 weeks was tough. I'm telling you. And that was just a startup to see if you could come
back
for the third week.
That's right. And these people, you know, and Welch told me after, you know, after 2 months, 3 months, I forget how long it was. He called me outside. He says, "Kid, you're never gonna make a dime in here. You're beating people up. These guys are afraid to work with you." Now, these were professional wrestlers come down working out with me. And he said, "They're afraid they're going to hurt themselves trying to take care of you, and you're too rough on them." I said, "Well, that's what you told me to be." And Herb didn't realize he's never told me anything about wrestling, working. You know, he never told me anything. He just wanted me to be able to take care of myself in Japan or Saudi Arabia or wherever I went. So he was showing me all these moves like the Oklahoma tumbleweed and, you know. And anyway, he told me, "Okay, kid, we're going to try it again. This time we're going to lighten up on people, you know." But after I started going to mall in Missouri, all these little towns, leave home with $20 in my pocket, I get back, I'd have $10. I'd paid behind the gas and everything and working five times a night. But that's what I needed, Herb, because you got to get the experience of the people around you. Yep. You got to get this right. I said, yeah, but these people are trying to kill me up here. You know, I mean, they're throwing knives in the ring. And the police sitting out there looking at it like, hey, who deserves it? He's mean. He's mad.
the police were buying into it, too, back then.
Yeah.
No, they didn't care, man. They said, yeah, save us a job. He's out there doing all that stuff, pulling that guy's hair, putting his feet on the rope, using something out of his trunks, too.
Foreign objects. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's got a foreign object in there for sure. But, you know, it's the greatest experience in order to go to Memphis and be main event within a year after getting out of starting with Herb Welch. And I've been main event within a year with Gary Lawler and different other guys, and that's great, man. I mean, Herb Welch loved it. He said, I was the greatest guy he ever trained. I have a letter from his wife that said, hey, Herb, you was his main guy, but Herb was tough. Yep. Man, he was tough. Mm-hmm.
You gotta watch those guys named Herb.
Yeah, a lot of Herb. Well, I might be talking about Herb there. He might be tough as Herb Wells was. I don't know yet, you know. But I'll tell you, man, it learned me a valuable thing. Don't mess with old men.
Yep.
'Cause you don't know who you're messing with.
That's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, Herb Wells was 65 years old when he trained me. And I'm telling you, man, he beat me bad. I mean, he was trying to get me out of the business. But I was an old tough boy from Tennessee, a redneck. I always had to fight for everything I had. And it didn't bother me to fight, you know. I kind of liked that. But, man, I'd never fought like that before. Where a guy take your arm and twist it behind your back and make you touch your other ear through the front. I didn't know my arm go that far, you know. But it was very memorable experience with Herb Wells. I'll never forget the guy, you know. And it helped me all the way through. You know, in Japan, I'd go there. If Herb had me take care of myself, I would have tortured over there the whole time. So they try you and see if you know how to take care of yourself. If you don't, those boys over there will torture you every night. Yeah. Because that's the way they're trained.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't happen with me now. I let it know real quick. I don't play that, you know. So,
yeah.
But I'm still thinking that battle wrong, that trophy. I can't get it off my mind.
Well,
Kevin, I want to just say talked about Larry. He's going to be at the Hey Guy Comedy Club this coming Thursday night in Fairview Heights. It's going to be the fans' chance to come and a little bit more relaxed atmosphere. He'll be on stage just talking about the old days of wrestling at the Chase. And I want to give a shout-out to the Hey Guy Comedy Club for coming up with this idea to do that. And hopefully the fans will come out and enjoy an evening of talking about the old days under Sam Muchnick.
That's amazing. Well, Herb and Dr. D, I want to thank both of you for being a part of the show today. I appreciate your time. And I know Saturday night, May 19th, will be a great success for all of you.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity. And Dr. D, I'll give you a call earlier this week. We got a couple more to do.
Okay, that's great, Herb. I'll be looking forward to talking to you. Hey, buddy, I appreciate it. It's been a great, great interview. I enjoy having good people to interview me, and we both leave and nobody got cussed out, nobody got threatened or anything.
Those are the best interviews.
Anyway, you have a good holiday, Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah.
And you have a good week, and I'll be up on the 19th, and you know, we'll talk to you later.
All righty, thank you, Dr. D. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Well, fans, you heard it, Dr. D. David Schultz. Wasn't sure how that interview was going to go, I'll be quite honest with you, but he is clearly a very down-to-earth, real person, and I appreciate that. Herb Simmons, another great individual in the world of professional wrestling. I've had the opportunity to meet him in person more than once. He has come and visited some of the Stride Pro Wrestling shows that we've done, and as I mentioned, I've been up to SICW as well. So great individuals, great people involved in pro wrestling. I love it, and I hope everybody has a great and amazing week, and take care, folks.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.